No. Actually, I don't. I need to move. Randy, up or down? How about that? Is that working? Okay. Well, it is what it is. Good evening. It's good to be back here with the Glenpool congregation. I see a lot of people here that I know and that I love dearly. And I see some new faces here in the crowd as well. And I am thankful for that. I got a tour a while ago of the new building, and I'm glad to see that the church here in Glenpool is growing. That's been a long time coming. This isn't the work of something that's happened here recently. Some of you older folks have been here a while. You know this is something that's always been moving this way, and I'm thankful for that as well. And I expect greater things from this congregation in the future because of that. This congregation is doing the work of the Lord, and that's why you're growing here. I wish it were so everywhere. Tonight's class is going to be about how to make contacts. I know you guys have been doing a Bible study, Stafford North study. It's on sharing your faith. Randy Brown told me this when I had dinner with him earlier because Ben wouldn't divulge that. It's interesting because I had taught this class a while back. Stephanie remembers that when I was here a couple years ago, and I got to pick on Jeff and Chris quite a bit. I was hoping they would be here tonight so I could get after them a bit because I know they need it. But I must admit that I haven't been in the church all that long. I've been in the church probably about 14 short years. I was not reared in the Church of Christ. But I didn't know that you could just email somebody from a different congregation and give them a topic and a date and tell them to come teach for you. But that's exactly what happened to me. That's what Ben did to me. I'll get him for that later. Anyways, I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here. I'll do my best to share with you some things that I have learned along the way when it comes to making contacts, setting up Bible studies, evangelism. And also, I'm going to call on you tonight, too. I want to have your experiences shared, too. I want to hear your thoughts, because we all know what the Bible says about the Great Commission. Everybody in here, I'm not going to quote Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account. I'm not going to tell you that, because you already know that. And if you don't, see me after class. It's really pretty quick and brief. Evangelism is a work of the church. That's something that ought to be done by all Christians. And we'll get to that. Are there any visitors here with us tonight that are not members? I'm not trying to single anybody out. I know you are. So I was just see if you're honest. I just want to make sure you're honest and you guys back there are honest too. That's good. Okay. What I want to tell you is thanks for being here. And I want to tell you before anybody else does, if they haven't, that we count your visit as a blessing to us in the church. So glad you're here. Is there anybody here tonight who currently has an ongoing Bible study with somebody right now? Anybody? I do. Not bragging, I'm just saying. I actually have one. There's a key to that, and I'll get to that right at the very end of this lesson. It's not so hard as you would think, okay? I was going to ask you how you got the study because it's different for different people. I have people that come up and say, you know, would you like to do a study? And yes, of course I would. And then you have to go sometimes and beat the brush a little bit. It's always different. There are no hard and fast rules in this evangelism. We all know what the Bible teaches on that. Christ gave the Great Commission. We know when the church started in Acts chapter 2. We know around Acts chapter 8, the church is persecuted and it's spread out. Those folks are going out. And Ben's already talked about this. They're sharing the good news when they're persecuted. But we're not persecuted. So that's a little different for us. And I don't think that there's anybody in here who would really understand what that's like. But we live today and now. And that's why I want to hear from you. And it'll help me too. Because we all have different experiences. The writer of Proverbs tells us, he who wins souls is wise. There's your scripture tonight. It's Proverbs 11:30. I'd like to share a tidbit with you now, if I may, kind of get this class started. I read a Barna survey the other day on evangelism. George Barna Group, they're the folks that do religious surveys and they take polls. And I was surprised to read that 100% of professing Christian evangelicals feel that it is their Christian duty to share their beliefs of Christ about others. They 100% feel like it's their duty to share their faith. Now these folks feel like we do, that the Great Commission applies to us as individual Christians, and it's our duty to share our faith. Well, here's the funny part. According to the survey that I read, less than 60% had actually done so in the past year. Okay? 100% say it's their duty, and less than 60%, or around 60%, said they'd actually done so in the last year. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I can see part of the problem right there. Okay? Remember, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. I don't know how much of this information I'm going to share with you tonight is redundant. I hope not a lot of it is, but that particular lesson that Ben's teaching, there is a lot of redundancy in that. What I want to talk about a little bit is lessons from an empty church. How many of you are familiar with that? Stephanie, get your hand up. You may not remember it, but you were exposed to it. And I've asked Matt and Bobby, that's why they're sitting down here front, like two little boys, and I've asked them to read this, different sections of it. These are lessons from an empty church, and these thoughts actually come from an outside religious organization. Bobby, would you read the first part of that? Did I ask you to read the first part? No, Matt, you're up.
One of the most insightful books of 1996.
Now hang on, Matt. Matt's going to read with his guy voice. Now read it, Matt.
How about I stand up?
There you go.
No one suggested I do that, but I'm doing it.
Okay. Okay. So according to Mr. Reeves' report, and this report that he cites here, the Methodist Church, for example, lost 1,000 members a week for the last 30 years. That's a lot of folks. Over 1.5 million. What about from 1995 till today? If you continue on that path, that's another 1 million folks, pretty much, roughly, that they're not replacing. Okay? Bobby, would you read the second part of that? Just do one at a time so we can talk about it.
In this carefully documented work, Reeves says these churches are losing their children, their morale is low, missionary zeal is waning, their seminaries have emphasized the therapeutic, the trendy, and the easy assimilation of leftist views.
Okay. What's happened here? They're losing their children. Why? Well, Bobby goes on to tell you that. Their seminaries are emphasizing those things that are therapeutic. That feels good, right? They're trendy, what's going on, and the easy assimilation of leftist views, views from the outside that we wouldn't consider orthodox. Basically, and I know Stephanie knows the answer to this one, Jeff's not here, you're going to catch it tonight. They have become the church of what's happening now. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, what about what's happening next year? You've got to, once you start that, once you let the dog in the house, you're going to get fleas, so you got to keep scratching, right? You got to keep scratching. Where are you going to stop with that? When do you stop with that? Go on, Bobby, or yes.
Okay. According to Reeves, these churches, once the backbone of Protestantism in America, have declined primarily because the leaders, often without agreement of their members, have compromised to accommodate current culture. They accept the theory of evolution, but no longer believe in Bible miracles, even denying the virgin birth and resurrection of Jesus. They no longer hold the inerrancy of Scripture and have adopted relativism.
Okay. They no longer hold to the inerrancy of Scripture and have adopted relativism. What's wrong with that? Thoughts? This is interactive class, by the way. You can talk when I ask a question. Guys, they're just the modern church of today in America. It's everywhere. Bobby's going to read the next section, Bobby. This will help tie this up.
Okay. In addition to doctrinal changes, these churches have also changed moral views to match our secular society. Leaders no longer consider adultery as wrong, accept homosexuality, feminism, and abortion.
Okay. These churches are always changing to meet the needs of today, the needs of what people say they need today. They're not going to the Bible as their source of authority. Their authority is from the wrong position. They're looking at society for that. I think people like the idea of being a follower of Christ, being a believer, but they really don't want to follow what he has to say. And that's the difference between us and them. Matt's going to tie this up, and we'll talk some more about that.
These mainline churches have also declined because they're not evangelistic. Their support of missionaries is down, and they make little effort to gain new members. They have, in fact, so blended into the culture that they have lost their distinctiveness and much of their reason for being.
Okay, thank you, Matt. These churches have declined because they have ceased to be evangelistic. We use that word all the time. They preach it, we teach it, we talk about it, we read books on it, and the truth is, nobody's just very good at it. Jim Yeager's going to first troublemaker. Go ahead, Jim. No, they like the idea of it, they just don't actually follow through. And you can't know what Jesus tells you to do if you don't know what he says in the book. There's where you have to find your authority. Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Good people. Sincere people, I'm sure. John 12:48 comes to mind. We all know that verse too. At least we should. We hear it all the time. Jesus said, we'll be judged by the words in this book. Now, I wasn't reared in the church. Far from it. But if you believe that there is a God and you believe that Jesus is his son and you believe the word, the Bible is his word, and you attempt to follow that, how far are you willing to go to follow that to be pleasing to God? I think that's the real difference between us and those kind of folks. Most folks like to hit a plane where they're okay with their religion, but they're not completely given up. You know, we talk about idols and things like that, but what's going on in America today? The reason I actually brought this up, lessons from an empty church, if you want to be an empty church, just do what these seven churches that were mentioned earlier, and these seven are just a cross-section. I mean, look from one end to the other. Do what they do, and you'll suffer the same fate. That's the only reason I brought this up. They're not being evangelistic. You know, if you lose 1,000 members a week for 30 years and you're not out there beating the brush, trying to have a contact and get a Bible study, what are you saying? You're saying at the end of this, it's over with, okay? The last part of this that Bobby had read said, they have, in fact, so blended into culture that they have lost their distinctiveness and much of their reason for being. Now, average Joe Christian, if I can't tell the difference between this church, out of those seven that were written earlier that we talked about, if I can't tell the difference between from one end to the other, they all look very much the same in what they practice and do, then how are they different in any way? They're not. I think we're all on the same page here as what, if you want to be a member of the church, what you're required to do to become a member of the church, we understand that. A lot of people aren't aware of that. And I think, like you said, once they are aware of it, the honest and sincere people will make those moves. They'll do what's right. But anybody get any questions on the empty church? Because I assure you that if we're just like these folks, if we end up blending culture into the church over and over again, we'll be no different than they are. Yes, sir. Inclusiveness. Anytime you take a Bible stand, you're... I think I tried to say that. I might have went around the barn, but that's where we're at with that today.
There's a young lady that she has no use to the church, of any church.
Right. The rules.
With her great knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Homosexuality, that's not something she wants to talk about. It's just all people are inherently good. Leave them alone. Let them do their thing.
Yeah. I hear that from time to time.
No knowledge whatsoever, but there's an awful lot of people that are there.
Yeah.
They don't want to know, but they've got this idea in their mind of, everybody's okay, just let them be themselves.
Yeah. Who promotes that, by the way, more often than not? Where does that come from? That's not biblical teaching. Where does that come from?
Society.
Bruce got him, the devil, but yeah, society. The devil uses a lot of things, doesn't he? That teaching in particular is broadcast. You read it every Sunday in a paper. It's all over the billboards. Go to the church of your choice and those kind of things. I'll be honest with you. When I became a Christian, when I decided to follow Christ, I wanted to know exactly what I needed to do to be saved, how to worship properly, because I read that John 12:48, and it stuck in my mind. I need to do what he said to do, even when it hurts a little bit. But a lot of people don't like to hurt a little bit. Sometimes it does hurt. And we live in a society where everything's okay. I worry about those folks. We're going to get a little more in depth with this in just a minute. The next thought is, so what can average Joe or Jane Christian do to make contacts and set up a Bible study with someone? And like I said before, that is a good question, and I'm going to try to give you an answer to that. But first off, let's just plain be honest with each other. Not everyone in here, anywhere, is going to have the same kind of success in this particular area of work in the church, because everyone in here has different strengths or different gifts, if you will. There are people in this congregation that are a lot more benevolent than I am. I try to be like them. There's people in here that edify me more than I probably ever edify them. They may not even know that. Those, like Randy Brown and I talked about earlier, I have to work on those things that I don't feel like I'm very good at. The reason I try hard at evangelism, for the right reasons, I want to do it to be pleasing to God, obviously, but there's more that drives me to do that, and we'll talk about that too. Now, when it comes to doing evangelism, everyone has different strengths, like I said, but that doesn't mean that if you're not really good at that particular area, you can't do your part, okay? Because I've always felt like any time that somebody was converted to Christ, it's always a team effort. Just think about it. It's always a team effort, okay? And the best thing that any of us can do, you or I, any of us, is live our faith every day. Live it. Live it, live it. If people see your faith in action, they'll be more likely and more receptive to what you have to say. They'll be more likely to hear what you have to say. And because where someone spends an eternity can very well depend on what we do or we don't do. Now, that may not scare a lot of people, but the fact is, if you're lost, well, we'll talk about that in a minute too. Now, if I'm asked what thing is most important, if somebody came up to me and said, Lonnie, what's the most important thing you can do when you want to evangelize people? When it comes to making contacts, setting up Bible studies, having conversions, I'd have to say that it's our attitude toward evangelism. Does that make sense? How many times have you heard a preacher pound the pulpit? We need to be more evangelistic. Okay, we go through these series of classes. We memorize all the scripture in our head. We've got it in our heads, right? We know all the scripture that tells us to do these things. But it seems awful hard to just actually do, doesn't it? It's not that easy, is it? Bill? Anybody? Is it easy? You know, I've always dreamed that I have this weird idea that if everybody in the congregation, everybody in the church could convert one person, the church would double. Well, that sounds simple, doesn't it? But the truth is, that's really hard to do. Okay, not everybody's going to be effective in this area of work. And I have some questions now that I'd like to ask each and every one of us in here to consider and reflect upon to kind of gauge our attitude meter toward evangelism. Okay, and class participation is mandatory if you want to. Okay, it's mandatory if you want to. You don't have to. Number one, here's a big question. Do you feel compelled to share your faith with others? Do you feel compelled? Anybody? Compelled.
Compelled.
Okay. Thank you for honesty. Okay, if you do feel compelled, then my next question is, what drives you? Because I want to know. What drives you? Is it what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe? The terror of the Lord? What will happen to people if they're not converted? Or is it the love of Christ that compels you that he talks about on down in the chapter? What is it? Jim?
Matthew 7:13.
Okay. Few. Very few. Yeah. That's all about it.
To go to those individuals, and the problem that we run into today, Lonnie, is that if you did a survey, walk down the street, stop somebody.
Hey.
Did you believe in God? Well, sure.
Sure they do.
Do you believe you're going to go to heaven? Absolutely.
Been told so. Yeah.
And that's what you confront today.
Yeah.
Most of the people out there in the secular world believe that they're going to go to heaven.
Yeah. That's why it's so important, and that makes the point tonight, Jim. That's why it's so important, if you really know these people and you really love these people, and I have failed at this many times, that's why I keep pushing. If you know these people and you love them, you need to tell, hey, let's sit down and see what Scripture says. I can tell you who's going to heaven, those that do the will of the Father, Matthew 7. We all know that, but most people don't. They think they're going because somebody told them they're right with God. I don't know if they actually believe it sometimes. They just like the idea of it. Question number two, when's the last time you talked to Jesus, talked about Jesus to, and his church to others? She did. Last Sunday at worship doesn't count, okay? When is the last time you talked about Jesus and his church to others? And that's, I'm talking about folks that when you're out shopping, you're at work, you're with friends, at a restaurant, at the ball fields, wherever you go. When's the last time you got to interject that? Today, good for you. You're scattering to see the kingdom.
You can do it without getting someone to
face. Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
It really is.
I know.
But you've got to do it.
It's something that we need to practice. That's what we need to do. We need to practice that. I've used this before. I'm sorry if I bore you with this, guys. When I used to go down and get my candy, I like to give out candy. You all know that. I do that everywhere. I'd go down to the dollar store and buy bags of candy, and finally, after about the third trip, the lady there said, "You eat a lot of candy." And I said, "No, actually, I don't. I like to give it away at church. I like to give it away at church." "Really? Where do you attend?" "Well, I attend the Glenpool Church of Christ right down here on Elwood." I said, "Why don't you come and visit us sometime?" That's how you do it. It's just that simple. I don't know if she's here or not. Jim? Yes. Doesn't it go back to what I said? You need to live your faith. You're going to lead people to heaven sometimes by what you say and do. That's what I'm talking about here. You don't have to go out and just, matter of fact, you don't have to end up doing Bible studies with people. Other people will be glad to help you do that. You just might have to lead them a little bit, okay? First thing you can do is make contacts, befriend people. Ben's talked about this stuff in the Sharing the Faith class, how you get to know people a little bit and talk to them a little bit. Guys, you're going to go through 100 people before somebody ever comes down here to a VBS or a ladies' Bible class or anything like that, or even to Wednesday night. Or maybe, if they're real hungry, they'll come to a dinner. And then hopefully the rest of you in here will get your hands on them and make them feel warm and welcome. I can tell you that when a person walks in that door that's not a member of the church, if they're not greeted warmly, if they just walk in here and look around and come in here and sit down, they can get that anywhere. But I can tell you the people that were here when I walked in the door here 14 years ago, that's what caused me to come back the next week. I saw they were real people. They were regular people. They were just simply trying to do what God asked them to do. Nothing more, nothing less. It's that simple. Sometimes we make it harder than it ought to be. Excuse me. Next question. When is the last time you read a book or an article on evangelism? Does it interest you to do that? I like it. Kind of weird that way, but I like it. I like to see what everybody's doing. I'm looking for a better Bible study every day. because there's something, one of these days, there's, you know what, I've got 100 Bible studies in my house, and I like bits and pieces of all of them, and I wish I could just take time and put them together the way I like it and present it to where it's scriptural, biblical. Other people smarter than me put these things together, but the problem with Bible studies, remember this one, Steph, is people who write those already know the answers. Dummies like me, you're liable to ask me something, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. People that are knowledgeable of the Bible write Bible studies, and then you teach them to people that don't know any Bible. That's kind of hard sometimes, and yet, that's what we're asked to do, right? If you find a good Bible study, add to it. If it says one good thing in there, find the other two or three and write them in there too. It'll help later on. Again, I'll ask you this question. Do you live your faith in front of all people, not just some? Guys, it's easy to walk in here on Sunday morning and shake hands and hug everybody. You love everybody in here. I love everybody in here. But when you walk out the door, you're right back out in the wolf's den, right? It's tough out there, isn't it? It's tough to be like you were. If we could carry what we are in here out there, and that's part of the answer, we'd be better off, wouldn't we? The church has to get outside this building. That's where you find your contacts. That's where you'll find people to do Bible studies with. Okay? Here's a big one. Somebody, answer this one. And I ask this because I am now the duty usher where I'm attending because I didn't have one when I got there. And I just can't get that. How many visitors came to services here last week? Anybody? Jack? Anybody? Matt? Who knows? Karen Brown's going to tell me because she's a church secretary, but I don't want to hear that one. I want somebody that's out there.
No, all she can tell you is what's on the car.
Right. She'll tell me that.
There's a difference.
Yeah, sometimes there is. Yes, last Sunday. I want to know last Sunday.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
Probably six.
I'm not going to hold you to a hard number. Did you catch a bunch of them? That's my point. All you could?
If I'm at that door, I catch them all.
Good for you. Keep catching them.
National surveys will tell you if you don't impress, that's not the right word, if you don't leave an impression on those people that come through that door in the first 16 seconds,
yeah.
You've lost them.
I don't need a national survey to tell me that. I live that. I know that. That's true. It's true here. It's true where I'm at right now. Their first impression when they're greeted is what they're going to think of this place. And what you do out there in the foyer, guys, girls, is going to mean more to them that day than what this guy's got to say on that Sunday, just in case you were wondering. My next question would be, did you warmly greet them when they got here? And I was hoping Chris and Jeff would be here because I'd skin them. Okay, because they know better. We all do. Guys, we need to make an effort in this area. That is the first thing people are going to see and what they're going to think about us. And I know this congregation has been doing a better job of this. Where I'm at, they haven't done that for years, and it shows. And it's tough. It makes it tough. Okay. Last few questions are mandatory. Really this time, it really is mandatory. What was your spiritual status before you obeyed the gospel? Steph knows this one. Well, I throw my fingers up. I'm worried which hand I got. Lost. Yeah, I throw that one up. Who knows? You were lost, right? Jaeger was going to get me on that. Before you obeyed the gospel, you were lost, right? Everybody agree with that? Nod your head. Show life. Okay. What's the status of all those folks who haven't obeyed the gospel, who haven't heard and obeyed? Same thing, right? Okay. What's going to happen to those folks come judgment day? Anybody? We can give you all the biblical descriptions of destruction, being cast out, burn up. They're done, right? Okay. So, knowing that, like Paul said, the terror of the Lord, knowing that, and knowing what's going to happen to these folks, especially those that are kin to us, that we love very dearly, we're going to have to figure out a way. We're going to have to figure out a way to talk to these guys. So whose job is it to reach them with the gospel? The world's not doing that. It's telling them everything in the world, isn't it? Isn't the world telling people in religion everything in the world to do is fine, acceptable? I wonder where it's going to stop. New Testament Christianity is so simple. It's so simple, and it's made so hard by the world. Okay. Let's talk about contacts. Sources of contacts, people that we want to share the gospel with, the good news. The vast majority of people that we come in contact with, if we believe what the Bible teaches, as Bobby, I think Bobby brought up, Matthew 7, maybe Jerry did. Jerry's a Bible scholar. Matthew 7, 13, 14. The majority of people are lost in the world, considering the world as a whole. Church is really small in comparison to that, okay? The number one thing that you're going to do when it comes to setting up a Bible study with anybody, at some point during your friendship, hanging out, talking, whatever, is guess what? You've got to break down and ask for a Bible study. That's it. That's the most intimidating thing in the world, other than me up here talking. Randy Brown taught me years ago that public speaking was terrifying. He's absolutely right. I don't enjoy it. I'm scared to death of it. I'll probably say something plump silly. But at some point, if you're looking for a Bible study, if you're really concerned with the lost folks in the world, you've got to ask them for a Bible study. And let me give you some advice. Have a good one. Ready? You can have these marked up Bibles, but if you do, that's fine. Make sure you know it, okay? Like I said, there's hundreds of them out there. At some point, you've got to ask, but who are these people that we want to share the gospel with? We talked about it earlier, visitors to worship service. If somebody walks in the door here, don't you think that by that, they're at least a little bit interested in what's going on in here? Catch them. Make them sign that visitor's card, you know? Get their address. And then wait for them to show up next week. Right, Matt? And when they show up next week, Carl Burris, get your wallet ready. Ask them if they want to go to lunch, right? They say, no, I can't this week. They're really planning. Well, let's do it next week. Talk to them. Find out who they are, what they're about, and ask them if they have any questions. And remember, everybody out there has more baggage than you can dream of. I talked to Randy earlier today, and I said I met my first religious nut, if you can call them that, in the world, last Sunday evening services. This was the most confused person about religion I've ever met in my life. But there's a lot of that going on out there. This is a soul that I doubt that anybody could ever reach. I know we talk about evangelism, let's go out there and save the world. That's not going to happen. Of course, Matthew 7 bears that out. We try to save those that we can. And some people are different, right? Visitors to worship service, that probably is... When I was a member here, I think that was my key job right there. I wanted to get people and find out who they are. Some of you folks in here I don't know. Don't run off. I want to talk to you afterwards. Delinquent members. This is a big, if you want to say, a failing in the church, delinquent members. Guys, if we could bring back those that have backslid and fallen away, reach back out to those folks and get them back in here. We would double the size of the church everywhere. I'm not talking about just here. Other good sources, spouses of members. You have members here whose husbands or wives are not members of the church. A lot of them, sometimes, I remember several years ago, we had a lady who had attended here for years, and her husband was a member of the church, but she was not. She had never obeyed the gospel. And finally, somebody just went up and said, hey, have you ever done a Bible study and baptized? No, nobody ever asked me. Ask, right? Let's ask. It's not that hard. You know what? If they say no, Jesus gave you a way out, didn't he? Go to the next guy. Go to the next one. Trust me. From somebody who fails miserably at this, I just keep pushing right along and looking forward to the Bible study I have this Friday. Okay? Friends and relatives of members, those folks that you will see and come in contact with, when you're gathered together with them, always interject something about Jesus and his church in your conversation. If nothing else, you'll stop them from cussing. You know what? I'm being serious here. If I'm around some of my family members or Donna's, And they may say something that's untaught. Normally they speak that way, but when they're there, they stop. I mean, just interject something about Jesus. And that, you know what? That has a power to shut them up sometimes. And that's a good thing. But then you have to live it in front of them. What about your VBSs? What about your ladies' Bible classes? Granny, we got any new people in the Bible class? Are we still having a ladies' class?
No, we're not.
Granny, I leave and this place falls apart. I love my time in the ladies' Bible class down here. That was great times, most of the time. Benevolent contacts, people that come by here. Do we still have, Carl, do we have a lot of folks come by for help here still? We do. I asked Carl that because Carl's one of the most benevolent people I've ever met in my life. I'll just say that. I don't want to embarrass him, but he is. I've outed him now, okay? We have a lot of folks down there that come by, and you know what? You do what you can while you can with them, but they always leave with a good impression of the church, if nothing else. That's what you want to leave them with. Who knows what seed you plant here where it'll trickle out somewhere else, okay? What about people who attend functions with our youth? High school class having a class tonight? Are they in here?
No, we can't hear.
Oh, okay. Okay. Those kind of folks. But I will tell you, I'm not sure. Somebody told me that you have to be, they have to be at least 18 years old before you can ask somebody for a Bible study in that realm. But I never have done that. I just ask them, you guys want to do a Bible study sometime? Yeah. Okay. I talked about spouses of members, didn't I? You have some here. You've probably got several on your list, in your mind. Guys, the people like that, you need to take them off the back burner, move them up front. You know what? I think we use the analogy of grapes. You know, if those grapes ain't ready, if they're not ripe, put them back on the vine for a while. But you know what? Move them up a little bit. Nudge them a little bit. One of the sources here lists door knocking. How many of you in here have ever door knocked? Boy, look at the hands fly up. Door knocking. How'd that work out? Do I get a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever? Kind of iffy. Anybody ever been run off the porch? I have. Don't come back. Okay. Can I leave this track with you? No. Okay. That's kind of a cold way to introduce yourself to somebody anyway. Think about this. Would you like somebody come? I didn't before I became a Christian. Oh, here they come. Hey, I'd like to do a Bible study with you. I'm from the church. We're doing a campaign for Christ. I'm not interested. That's cold. That's a hard way to do it, guys. There's got to be a better way than that. Some people have luck at it. I know some people who spend a lot of time and effort in doing that. I'm not sure that's a good use of our resources. Jails in prison, Bill. There's your chance to shine. You've got folks that are, you have a captive audience, literally. I'm not being funny on that one. That's the truth. You've got a captive audience there. And you know what? I'm not making light of this. Hey, if everybody was stuck, it'd be easy for me to talk to them about Jesus, wouldn't it? Everybody said, well, let me go ask my husband. Let me go talk to my preacher. Let me see what else I got to do. That's poor soil to work with to begin with. But when you've got somebody stuck and they realize they're not going anywhere, you have a shot to talk to them. Okay? We send out the congregation here. I say we because I'm still attached here. Chamber of Commerce gets a welcome packet from this congregation here. And so they know this congregation exists here. My wife is still in contact with a lot of people that she knew from here that she worked and in this area. They keep track of your building better than our own people. They know what's going on down here. They know we're getting a new sign. They know everything. I hear it from her, and she hears it from them. That's impressive. Wow, we're running out of time. Guys, the list goes on and on. That list has never changed. Have I told you anything you haven't heard before? Newcomers to town, visitors to your homes, funerals. Somebody put funerals in here. I don't know if going to funerals is a good time to talk to anybody, to be honest with you. I know they're down. You might take them and talk to them later, but not then at the funeral. Weddings, but always, no matter where you're at, interject something about the church and Jesus. Like I said, at least they'll know who you are. Now, if you find some willing soul, an honest with a sincere heart, that you are going to teach the Bible to, do a Bible study with, bring your Bible study. First thing you need to do is pray to God for help. I've done more than a few with different people, and it's always good to have somebody else with you. It's a good idea to always have somebody else with you. That's like in here tonight, I would take anybody else with me because you're smarter than I am. So always take somebody who knows more Bible than you do so they can handle the hard questions, okay? Or at least you think they know more. And like I said, until a study is set up, it can't be conducted. When you befriend people, you make these contacts, they know who you are, you represent Christ, you get around to asking them. You have to ask them for this study, okay? That doesn't change. You can live in front of them, but at some point you're going to have to make that move. Bring them here. If we're doing a seminar here, very interesting. We did one several years ago. Ben did one. What's the first one we did here on Christian evidences? We had folks from denominations walking in here from everywhere. We had a bunch of people show up because that is something that interests everybody. And then you have an opportunity to talk to them. May not always convert a person, but you have an opportunity to talk to them. Always be genuinely sincere when you're talking to people about their soul. That's protected ground, isn't it? Even those folks who are believers, but maybe they haven't obeyed the gospel yet, they know that their soul is their soul, and be very careful with that. That's precious. Let them know how precious that is. Be genuinely interested in the interest of others. Matthew Caldwell, how many times did I go and watch Shelby play baseball when she was 3 or 4 or 5 years old before you'd sit down and talk to me? I paid my dues. Shelby wasn't very good. It was fun to watch her because she wasn't very good. If you watch people that are real good, it's fun. And if they're not good at all, it's fun too. Shelby was in that other group. But I got to be around Matt and Autumn and got to talking to them a little bit. You get to share with them. It's going to cost you a little bit if you go out and evangelize. That didn't cost much. This guy right here is a dandy, okay? We're fortunate to have him in the church for a lot of reasons. A big thing here is don't be intimidated. Jim Yeager knows more Bible than anybody he's going to talk to, more than likely. Trust me, he does. Well, at least he acts like he does. Every time I've been here, he talks and talks. But Jim Yeager knows a lot of Bible. Don't let him fool you. He knows what to do and say. So don't be intimidated. And here's probably the biggest thing. If you ever want to convert somebody, when it's time to ask them, you need to get them alone. Because when you're talking about somebody's soul, when you're talking about eternity and the things that you're going to talk to them about, that's serious business. That's not to be talked about in front of everybody that they're with. Okay? Always take them aside and ask them and tell them why. That you think that their soul is precious and that you would like the opportunity to give God's word a fair hearing. That's all you're asking, and that's all you can ask. Okay? We talked about spending time to get people ready to hear with Matt. That was time well spent. Another thing we can do is invite people who are not members, people that are family or other people, to come and eat with us at home. And then invite them when we have a church dinner, especially if Betty's cooking. Betty can do a lot. She can make a peach cobbler that they'll come back for. Use what you got. The world is pushing hard against the church. In a lot of places, the church is giving up to that. But we're going to be judged by the words in the book on that last day, not by what the world says. Guys, I'm sorry that we're running out of time here. I've got a few more things to say, but I'm not going to get to say it. Anybody have any questions before they let the floodgates in? Yeager, talk to me later. Don't raise your hand here. Okay? I love Jim Yeager.
Winnie, I got a question.
Yes, sir, Bob.
When are you coming back to fish?
You've got one of the best fishermen in the world right here, too. See, you can use Bob as a, and he don't mind that. He likes to go fishing. I don't know, Bob. I'd love to.
You know my favorite buddy, Pastor Mike.
Yes, sir, I do know that. Anybody else? That's all you get for a quarter then.